Goedemorgen en welkom bij Hour of Power. De dag begint goed, zeggen velen. En dat stem ik in met Hour of Power. En dit keer heel bijzondere gasten in zowel de cathedral als hier in Nederland. Om daarmee te beginnen, Angelique, de winnares van destijds Idols. Finished als vierde, kennen nu de X-Factor, spreekt en vertelt over haar leven zometeen bij Hour of Power Nederland. En ze gaat ook nog zingen. En u gaat een stuk zien uit de kerstconcerten waar ze een prachtig duet zong samen met Daniel Rodriguez. En Daniel zingt weer in de Crystal Cathedral. En verder een zeer boeiende, maar ook inspirerende preek over een van de mooiste verhalen die Jezus ooit vertelde. Het verhaal, u ziet het achter mij, van de verloren zoon op het moment dat die thuis komt bij de vader. En dat is nou precies de bedoeling van het evangelie. Ik wens iedereen veel kijkplezier, maar ook een aanraking van God bij deze uitzending van Hour of Power.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 36th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
The day that God has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Boy, that's easy, Lord, when we're so close to you. And the sun is shining, the sky is blue. God, you are alive and you are blessing us. We sense a spirit here. We feel emotional vibrations here. Terrifically different environment from some of the places we've been in through the past week. There's peace here. There's calmness here. There's hope here. That's you that we feel. That's you. Thank you. Amen. Please be seated. This past week, I was watching a beautiful sunset. I don't think there's anything in all the world that I enjoy more than
watching a beautiful sunset. And then this morning when I woke up, the sky was just so clear and beautiful. It reminded me of this wonderful scripture that I want to share with you today. It's from the Psalms. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all people. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the nations. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power and greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Thank you, Super Choir. Well, I have a wonderful guest to introduce this morning. She's a junior in high school at Orange Lutheran School. And when she was a freshman, she got an idea. It's amazing how God works through ideas. The idea was to send a thank you note to 1 million troops overseas. And so she put together an organization called 1 Million Thanks. And she started collecting letters, and she established a website, 1MillionThanks.com. And now as a junior, she has collected 1,600,000 thank you letters to our troops. Isn't that amazing? Well, she started when she was a freshman. She's now a senior. And only a few days ago, I went to a special presentation at Orange Lutheran High School, and the gymnasium was filled with thousands of young people. And there was a special guest there, the former general, Richard Myers, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And she presented her 1,600,000th letter to him. Isn't that amazing? She has collected 1,600,000 letters. Her name is Shauna Fleming. Please welcome this incredible young lady to the Crystal Cathedral. Shauna, God loves you. And so do I.
Thank you.
What an amazing idea, first of all.
Well, thank you.
And then beyond the idea to carry it out, 1,000,000 letters.
Yes.
That's a lot of letters.
It is a lot of letters. We figured out that it would actually fill a giant semi-truck, and it would weigh about 4,000 pounds. So 1,000,000 is definitely a lot.
But you didn't stop there.
No, I did not stop there. I wanted to collect one for each of the members that are actively serving right now, which is 1.4 million. And I far surpassed that, and I am just on my way still collecting letters.
So when we were at the, what do you call that? The
assembly.
The assembly, thank you. When you were at the assembly, Richard Meyer gave you a new goal. Do you remember what that was?
He said he wanted me to collect 2.6 million letters, and that is the number of servicemen and women active and reserve all over the world.
So are you going to take that on?
I'm thinking about it, most definitely.
That's a huge task, isn't it?
Yes.
So what takes place when you gather these letters? What do you do?
Well, first of all, I could not have done this without my school. They have been such a huge help, and the faculty, the students, my principal, Mr. Pinnock. But as soon as we got all the letters, we stored them in the mail room, is what we call it. And every Saturday, we've held sorting parties, as I call them. And students will come in, they'll sort through, count, bundle, package all of these letters and get them ready to ship off, and then we will send them from there. So it's a huge process, but it's so much fun, and just reading through the letters is, you know, just the best thing that you could do. You think it means a lot to you, but when the servicemen and women get these letters, it means so much more to them.
How many letters do you read?
Do I read?
How many letters are read is a better question.
All of them are read.
Every single
one of them are read, but it's so much
by
fun.
By the students?
Yes, by the students. They have so much fun reading these letters, sharing with them. We actually have this thing where at the end of the sorting party, everyone reads their favorite letter that they've picked out as they've gone through that day reading, and it's so much fun.
Do you have a favorite one that you can remember reading?
I do have a favorite letter. It's actually right in here, and it's written by a fourth grade student. And he says, "Dear soldiers, I'm a fourth grade student in Laguna Niguel, California. I would like to extend my sincere appreciation to you and your families for protecting our country. Thank you very much for your courage, sacrifice, and patriotism so we can have a normal life at home. I'll take my responsibility, like you, to continue to be a straight-A student. When I grow up, I'll be ready to serve our country. Best luck to you. Love, Charles." And those are just one of the many letters that we get from kids, adults, students, young 2- and 3-year-olds scribbling on a piece of paper from all over the country. And it really hits home.
So what I found interesting when I went there was that schools will gather all these letters. All the students in a specific school will gather the letters, then they'll put them in a box. And you don't receive one letter, you receive a big box filled with
letters.
Exactly,
because one is definitely not enough. So we package a box, and it can fit anywhere, depending on where we're sending them, anywhere from 2,000 to 20,000 letters, so they can be distributed to all their friends, and they can have multiple letters and not just one.
1,000,000 thanks. Our troops need to hear that. And we want to thank you, Shauna, for your incredible faith. You have a beautiful faith in Jesus Christ, don't you?
Yes. He has just helped me so much through this. And I knew that at the beginning that I needed him to guide this. And I picked the verse 1 Thessalonians 5:11. "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." And that's become the theme verse throughout this entire campaign. And I have definitely seen his hand in this, most definitely.
Shauna, God loves you, so do we. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
In the morning of my life, I shall look to the sunrise. At the moment in my life, when the world is new, and the blessing I shall ask is that God will grant me to be brave and strong and true, and to fill the world with love my whole and to fill the world with love, and to fill the world with love, and to fill the world with love, my whole life through. In the evening my life, I shall look to the sunset. At that moment in my life, when the night is due, and the question I shall ask, only God can answer. Was I brave and strong and true? Did I fill the world with love my whole life through? Did I fill the world with love? Did I fill my whole life?
Ja, leuk, Angelique.
Ja.
Mooie herinneringen, daar gaan we even over praten. Dat was Daniel Rodriguez met Fill the World with Love. Vervul de wereld met liefde. Nou, dat is ook wel gebeurd tijdens de kerstconcerten. Meer dan 6000 mensen hebben die in december bezocht, de kerstconcerten van Hour of Power. En ik kan u en jullie zeggen, je hebt wat gemist als je er niet bij was, hè, Angelique?
Ja, zeker weten.
Oh, je hebt ook fantastisch gezongen.
Ja, ik vond het ook echt een eer om het te hebben gedaan. En ook zeker om met zo'n geweldige zanger als Daniel Rodriguez te mogen optreden. Ja, ik voelde me echt zo'n klein meisje in zo'n groot poppenhuis.
Nou.
Het was echt geweldig.
Nou, ik denk dat een heleboel mensen razend benieuwd zijn, dus laten we gauw gaan kijken.
Luister naar de zon, hij roept je maar. Dit is jouw moment, dus ga nu maar staan. En wees niet bang voor het licht dat je voelt op je gezicht. Het is echt
om dat te zien. Heerlijk om zo samen te mogen zingen.
Geweldig, ja.
Je hebt het tijdens de kerstconcerten verteld, maar ik vraag het nog een keer aan je. Waarom zing je het geestelijke lied?
Het brengt zoveel meer voldoening wanneer je een tekst zingt als het gaat over de Allerhoogste God, Jezus Christus. Dan weet je ook waar je over zingt. En ook, het is ook de waarheid. Ik weet niet hoe ik het moet beschrijven, maar het is heerlijk om te zingen over zijn grootheid, over zijn macht en hoeveel hij van ons houdt. En als dat mag, ik vind het een eer om dat te mogen doen, dat ik dat mag doen gewoon voor hem.
Je zegt ik zing over mijn geloof. Je hebt een jaar geleden meegedaan aan Idols. Daar ben je bij de vier laatste terechtgekomen. Geweldig. Zullen we even een stukje van zien? Dan wil ik daar nog even op terugkomen. Even een stukje Idols.
Through the fire and the rain, bound in every kind of way, but God has broken every chain, so let me go right now. Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance.
Wat beheerst jouw leven? Je moet ook gewoon werken en je bent moeder, je hebt een zoon. Na Idols houdt het ook weer op natuurlijk.
Gaat gewoon door natuurlijk, het gewone leven. Nou ja, ik doe natuurlijk, het is grotendeels wel veranderd, mijn leven. Ik doe heel veel optredens door het land heen.
Wat zing je dan?
Ja, ik zing voor God natuurlijk. Ja. Ja, ik grotendeels wel. Ik ben ook momenteel druk bezig met mijn album. En dat neemt natuurlijk ook heel veel tijd in beslag. Omdat, toch het uitzoeken van de nummers. Ik bedoel, het is toch heel belangrijk. Het is toch mijn eerste plaatje. Het is net een kind wat je op de wereld brengt. En dat moet goed zijn. Het is goed, want het gaat over God. Maar je wilt toch heel veel tijd erin besteden. Het moet perfect zijn, dus nog een keer opnemen, zit een zuchtje in, nou, dat eruit en knippen en dan gaan we weer opnemen. Dus, maar ik vind het geweldig. Het is mijn eerste album.
Hoe gaat die heten?
Weten we nog niet.
Nee?
Dus bij deze mag je meedenken.
Ik ga meedenken.
Wat wordt, of is jouw lievelingslied op je nieuwe cd?
Ze zijn natuurlijk allemaal heel mooi. Maar eentje die me echt altijd weer raakt, is Hij kent je naam. De beschrijving van hoe God ons heeft geformeerd, ons hart. Hoe hij ons heeft gevormd en gemaakt. En hoezeer hij ons kent, onze gedachten.
Psalm 139.
Ja, kijk. En elke keer als ik dat nummer zing of als ik dat nummer hoor, dan realiseer ik me van wauw, God is goed.
Ja, Angelique, zing dat eens. De eerste strofe als je wilt. Ja, sorry dat ik dat spontaan vraag.
Hij kent je naam. Hij weet zelfs wat je denkt. Hij ziet jouw stil verdriet en hoort jou als je roept.
Ja. Ja. Veel mensen die kijken naar dit programma, die zeggen ja, God, ik heb hem nog nooit gezien. Ik had laatst iemand die zei, kijk naar Olaf Power. Hij zegt, maar één ding, had God maar een vel, dan kon ik erin knijpen. Wat zeg jij dan?
Je moet echt een relatie hebben met de Heer. Maar wetende gewoon dat je gewoon met hem kan praten, zoals hoe ik met jou nu praat. Soms dan zit ik gewoon en zeg ik, heren, ik voel me nu een beetje raar. Of ik ben nu verdrietig of ik ben blij. Dat ik dat gewoon zo met hem deel. En dat ik weet gewoon dat hij luistert. En dat het is zo dichtbij. Je ziet hem niet, maar je voelt zijn aanwezigheid. Het is zo, ja, dat kan je niet beschrijven.
Ja. Maar, je bent een blij mens, hè?
Ik ben heel blij. Ja. Ik ben echt heel blij, ja, absoluut. Ja.
Wat wij tijdens de kerstconcerten zagen, dat je moeder steeds meekwam, je broer, je zoontje een aantal keren. En ze zijn als een warme deken om je heen, hè?
Ja, absoluut. Het is ook heel bijzonder, omdat we dus met z'n allen, zeg maar, op hetzelfde moment tot bekering zijn gekomen. Dat verhaal heb ik al zo vaak verteld, maar het is gewoon zo bijzonder. Ja, het moment dat ik tot bekering kwam, kwam mijn moeder ook, mijn broertje ook en mijn andere broertje kwam ook. En op dat moment namen de heren aan. En mijn zoon natuurlijk. Maar die hoort bij mij, dus absoluut. Hij volgt mij sowieso. Ja. Maar zeg maar een jaar na mijn bekering, toen zag ik dat mijn zoon ook tot bekering was gekomen, maar vrijwillig. Het was niet van dwang, jij gaat mee naar de kerk en je gaat nu staan en we gaan God prijzen. Precies een jaar daarna zag ik hoe God ook in hem ging leven. En toen wist ik van, nee. Echt, het verhaal achter mijn zoon is van, er is ooit een diagnose gesteld over hem. Dat hij dus PDD-NOS had. Ik zeg had, want dat heeft hij niet. En dat is dus een tak van het autisme. Ik weet niet of je daar wel eens van hebt gehoord. En weet je, het is vreselijk als je moet horen dat je kind niet normaal gaat functioneren. Dat hij niet genegenheid kan tonen. Het moment dat ik dat hoorde, zakte mijn wereld in elkaar. Ik dacht, wauw, ik heb een kind op de wereld gebracht en ik was zelf al niet goed en toen moest ik dat ook nog meemaken. En het moment dat God in zijn hart kwam en hij zijn handen ophefte voor Jezus en hij prijste hem zonder dat ik hem heb gedwongen om dat te doen, toen wist ik van Jezus Christus bestaat. Dat was voor mij de erkenning. En dat is elke keer mijn getuigenis dat ik weet dat God leeft. Want het is niet een dokter die mij kan zeggen van een dokter kan je zeggen van, nou, ik ga je deze medicijn geven, maar dit is iets wat in de geest is. En toen ik zag van dat God dat op een manier liet zien aan mij, van er is niets aan de hand met jouw jongen. En het gaat zo goed met hem op school. Dus ik geloof ook echt, ik heb een goed gevoel ook voor de toekomst, ook voor hem. Dat het een goede man wordt, een leuke meid zal ontmoeten, gaat trouwen, al die dingen. Weet je.
Romantisch.
Dus ik ben hartstikke trots op mijn zoon, ja. Absoluut. Ja. Ja.
Ik heb Janeiro een paar keer ontmoet.
Ja.
Leuke vent. Dus hij is al een beetje ouder, maar ik geef je toch deze mooie kinderbijbel mee.
Oh, dat is
wel
leuk.
Dat is gezellig als hij bij jou op schoot kruipt.
Ja. Nou,
daar is hij al bijna te groot voor.
Ja, dat doet hij niet meer, hoor.
Nee, dat doet hij niet meer. Maar dat, dat je mooie bijbelverhalen kan vertellen.
Oh, leuk.
En Jan Mulder, die hebben we net ook gezien in de begeleiding van de duet als dirigent. Daar heb ik de nieuwe CD van.
Oh, kijk eens.
Dus vol cadeautjes.
Nou.
Kom jij me beloven dat we jouw nieuwe CD brengen?
Dat doe ik zeker.
Ja?
Persoonlijk, ja.
Ja, beloofd is beloofd.
Beloofd is beloofd.
U heeft het ook gehoord. Wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. En daar wordt, oh, er wordt een geweldig lied gezongen wat jij ook kent. He's got the whole world.
He got the whole world in his hands. He got the whole wide world in his hands.
Hey.
He got the whole.
Ga door, want wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral en dan wordt dat ook gezongen door Nathalie.
He got the whole world in his hands.
To him, he always helps me through. but sometimes I feel so small, and I think that no one cares at all. But then I sing my happy song, and I feel better again. He's got the whole
to say. 51 years ago, I started a church at a drive-in theater. We were the laughing stock of the clergy, mockingly called the drive-in preacher. And I thought, well, wait, someday I'll build a nice church. But people came to that church. They would never go to a church. One was your great-grandfather. He lost almost half his face in World War II. And he couldn't go out in public without being noticed. So he never went to church. Then he heard about a drive-in church. And he came to the drive-in church. And we became the closest of friends. And he became a beloved Christian. And you are his great-granddaughter, right? That's wonderful. Thank you, Natalie. Thank you. Just one thing I ask, remember me if you get famous, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. You're precious. Beautiful family. Well, I suppose everybody has heard of the phrase the prodigal son. But probably 90% of the people that listen to me in Russia, in the Arabic world, in China, and even in America, probably don't know the details of the story, and I don't want to take much time telling you the story, but I would say, get a Bible, open it to St. Luke chapter 15, and read the story. It's extremely moving, one of the most moving parables Jesus told. And that's why I commissioned a great sculptor to put it in bronze. This morning I'm talking about the parable of the prodigal son. In short, it's not just a prodigal son. It's also a prodigal daughter. The truth is, every person is a prodigal at some time in life, in some way. Maybe not as intentional as this man was, but the prodigal means someone gets his eye off of the central goal of the purpose of his life. So the prodigal son, basically, to get to the point in a hurry, said to his dad one day, and his dad was rich, and you can see in the artwork that the father wears a very costly garment, wears a very expensive ring on his finger,
is extremely wealthy. And so the prodigal says, I want my money now. I don't want to wait until you die to get my inheritance. Give it to me. Give it to me. The central thing is the attitude of give it to me. And when that's at the heart of the human spirit or the human being, you're talking about selfish living as a basic drive within the personality. And where does that lead you? What is the source of this drive? What was the prodigal son after? He was in search of something. He himself didn't know what he wanted. He wanted the money. Then he would have freedom from his family's values. He could do his own thing. He could have freedom from the routine, the rules, the regulations, the relationships that he thought were oppressive. Well, before he knew it, he got his eye off target. We are all prodigals at one time or another. That's persons. But it's not just persons. It's institutions, too. There are institutions that were established with a divine purpose and calling. Watch the decades move, and probably centuries with some universities. And they have left their basic mission. You can find colleges and universities that are prodigal. They aren't what they started out to be. There are religious organizations like that. There are denominations, there are churches, and they become prodigal. There are movements, there are nations. America, some people would say, is today a prodigal nation. It's accepted immoral values as acceptable in society. It's quite different from the way we were founded in 1776. How easy it is for an individual or an institution to get its eye off the target. Give me, give me, give me. He demanded it from his father. Unthinkable. I was talking to a person whose name cannot be dropped because everybody here knows the name, who is being sued by his children because, quote, he didn't give them enough of his money in the inheritance that he distributed while he was still alive. It's unbelievable. Give me my freedom. Give me my share. I want my money. It's the demanding spirit. Where does it lead? Well, the father is a marvelous person, and he decides not to argue. He gives the son the money, and the son takes off. He's gone. Till finally one day, reaches in his pocket, and there's no money left. And there's a famine. He can't get food. And in utter pathos, he lands up in a pig pen trying to eat the pig's food rather than starve. It's called the empty purse. Now, there can be great value in an empty purse. If you come to yourself and to your senses. And he did. Why did I leave? What'll happen if I go back? What will my dad say? Will he tell me I've had it? Get out? I don't know. And the story, as you probably know, he turns back. But his father never did search for him. He just watched for his return. Someday my son will come back. The way many of you who have a troubled child that is prodigal from the values you taught him in your home. And a lot of you listening are in that spot. You watch. You wait. You pray. And the time will come. A telephone call, or a doorbell, or a letter, or an email. And you will come and see your child coming back again. Now, this is also important because, you see, all of us are prodigals in one way or another at some time or another. It's true for every individual, young and old, adolescent, teenager. All of us can be prodigal. One of the great artists of our century, now deceased, and that's the last century, was Eric Sloan. I'm proud to say we were friends. He was an Hour of Power viewer. Well, I met him in person, quite providentially, when his work was being exhibited in New York City at the Hammer Galleries. And I happened to be in New York, and I went to the Hammer Galleries because I heard his display was on. And I looked at the pictures, and I admired the exquisite, elegant sketches of sky and clouds, sunrise and sunsets, after the storm, over the mountains, above the deserts. Fabulous. He's been called the greatest artist of the sky of all time. And he started life a very privileged boy, born into a very wealthy family. And when he was still a very young man, his father died, and you go back 50 years, and he had $1 million cash in the bank. It was his inheritance. He never earned it. He didn't make it. That's what's dangerous. So, he didn't have to work. He retired when he was a young boy. He went out to live life and enjoy it. Some years later, many years later, found himself in New Mexico and went to the bank and submitted his credentials and his card, which allowed him to draw cash out of his private account, which was in a New York bank. And the banker came after quite a wait and said, "Mr. Sloan, I'm very sorry to tell you, your purse is empty. Your money's gone. There's nothing there." He said, "It can't be. It was $1 million. Just like saying $5 million today. I couldn't have spent it all. Mr. Sloan, I'm sorry, it's gone." His inheritance was spent. His father was dead. There would be no further estate from anyone. And he had no career, no job. And he wandered down the street in a daze. Couldn't sleep that night. The next morning turned out to be Sunday, and he wandered down the street and saw a little church. And he went into the church. It was in process. The minister was ready to preach, and he announced his sermon. He said, "My sermon today is entitled, God's Providence, Your Inheritance." Wow. As he talked to me and told me this story, he said, "You know, that was over 50 years ago. I had wasted everything I had. My inheritance, all of it was gone. Never another inheritance. Now I sat there and I listened to him. There's an inheritance anybody can claim. God offers it to any person who wants to be a part of the estate. It's called my fatherly care. I'll care for you." And the minister said, "Everybody listening to me, even if his purse is empty, has something in here and in here waiting to be discovered. Come to yourself, discover it. The value of an empty purse in me move you from give me, give me, give me to who am I, God? Can you help me? And so Eric Sloan had only one thing of value, and it was inexpensive. It was a painting equipment. And he went home, and underneath his easel, where he would put his canvases and paint, he wrote, God's providence, your inheritance. Wow. And he became very, very wealthy as an artist. His largest painting is in the Air Force Museum in Washington, D.C., maybe 9 stories high. It's elegant with the sky and the clouds and the jet plane cutting through the white cloud. Wow. So we finished a wonderful time together, and I said, you know, Mr. Sloan, I want to give you something. It's a blessing. God loves you, and so do I. We held hands. He cried. He was so elegant. At the time, I think, over 80 years old, in a double-breasted Navy top coat in the chilly New York. Elegant, exquisite. He got tears in his eyes, gave me a little hug. 62 hours later, he was standing by a lamppost in New York, and he just quietly sat down and went on to heaven. Wow. You know, we've had a men's conference this week here, and John Sterling, I wonder if you're in church this morning. If you are, I want to know. Hello? If so, stand up. There. Thank you, John. May I tell the story? Thank you, Caden. You know, a few years ago, you all heard me tell this story of how God used me to bring Bear Bryant, the famous coach, to Christ. When I said to him, well, will you go to heaven? You died tonight. And he said, I don't know. I said, I could help you there. And I wrote out my ticket to heaven. Quote the words of Jesus, him that comes to me, I will no wise cast out. You don't have to have a perfect life. You don't have to have a feeling. You don't have to believe everything in the Bible. What you have to do is come to Jesus. I wrote it out. Drew a line, said, sign it. If you sign it, you're making a commitment. You're coming to Christ. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He signed it. And I told the story only on a Sunday before he would drop dead from a heart attack. Wow. My son heard that story and thought he should share it with others, and he did. And he had it printed up in a little card. Here's a copy. And I think, whoa, thousands of people have written to you for a copy of this card. And John was one of them. He wrote to you and said, can you send me 3? He wanted one for himself and for his 2 boys, the 2 teenage boys. They needed it. And we mailed it. He signed his and he showed it to me yesterday. It's in his purse. The 2 boys, they took it, but they weren't interested. Showed no interest at all. Not long after that, he didn't know what they did with them, but anyway, not long after that, one of those 2 teenage sons was killed in a car accident. And John here finally went to cleaning out the drawers, sorting through the things, and there he found a ticket to heaven, and it was signed. We're all prodigals, young or old. We need mid-flight corrections. Come to Jesus. And that's a good place to start, and you'll find your home. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you peace in your going out and in your coming in, in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come. Stand before Jesus in that day in which for you there will be no sunrise, no sunset, only eternal light and life forevermore. Amen.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to run unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable stars. This is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the
En zo zijn we gekomen aan het einde van deze uitzending van Hour of Power. En het goede uit de preek vond ik dat we in feite allemaal verloren zonen en dochters zijn. Niemand hoeft zich wat te verbeelden. Iedereen heeft God nodig. Zonder hem lukt het eenvoudig niet. En het mooiste is als je thuis komt en de vader zijn armen om je heen slaat. Dan ben je eindelijk thuis. Ik hoop dat het een bemoediging is voor iedereen die gekeken heeft. Een hele fijne week. En graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.